Lopez. We got a Jose Ramirez kerfuffle going on in town that I may or may not have unwittingly either been a part of or somehow unintentionally jump-started. We got that going on. Cavs still are not in the playoffs. Pacers still really good. Browns OTAs kicking off the day, kicking off the week. We got plenty to react. Kenny Pickett thoughts, right? I know you've all been waiting for that. Kenny Pickett thoughts. Joe Flacco, I'm not a mentor. I'm just a football player. And we got Jake Murren behind the glassy knoll and the on the board.
Yes.
Trying to figure out how to do that. I was combining two things. Anthony Alant on the 2020s. And Mac Robinson on the boat later in the show. But hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How's it going today?
Well, I got to be honest with you. We're going to start the show, and I don't think I'm going to make a lot of friends.
Yeah, I don't think I am either. Well, now I'm a little bit more torn than you are. So I'll let you go ahead and make fewer friends, and then I'll jump in and we'll just have the hate directed towards you, and I'll just latch on.
Is this where you let me put my foot in my mouth first, and then later you kind of just draft behind?
Listen, we all know how this goes. I'm going to take the heat regardless. It doesn't matter anyway. I say something ridiculous. You take the heat. You say something ridiculous. I take the heat. This is just how this goes. But the sad part is that I don't even get to be the poster child of the heat that gets taken, because I'll just let you take it first.
So earlier today, Myles Garrett posted that he is on a trip to Japan as Browns begin their voluntary OTAs. And the reality is, when I started thinking about it, I was like, well, you know what? I'd like him to be here, but I don't need to, right? I was thinking it was more of a little deal. In our perpetual game we play of big deal, little deal, no deal, I started at a little deal, and the more I've thought about it, the more that we just have further proof that Miles either doesn't get it, or Miles likes the double standard that has been set in Cleveland. So when he says he wants to be a leader, what he really means is he wants to be a leader when Miles wants to be a leader. And so this whole offseason was an absolute debacle for Miles, going all the way back to why he claimed he wanted out, which had nothing to do with Browns fans. It had nothing to do with Cleveland. It was everything about, you know, this isn't about money. This is about a chance to be able to put my name up there with the greats in Canton, right? I want to be a Hall of Famer. And I think the way you get there, I want to have those indelible moments in the Super Bowl, in the AFC title game, and we're no closer to getting there. And so if they're going to bring me back, I want to know the plan. And then the plan was pay him $40 million a year. So that was strike one. And strike two was really, whether it's Jason Lloyd's reporting on this, whether it's the Browns themselves saying, Jimmy Haslam saying, we've made an investment in Miles and we expect him to be a better leader. That's strike two. I should not be talking about the best player on this team, a $40 million player, a guy who's been here on 3-14 and was here at 0-16. I shouldn't have to talk about that when it comes to leadership. Find your way, but make an impact when it comes to leadership. So these guys know weeks and months in advance when OTAs are. So Miles posting this, the day OTAs, where the team is going to meet with the media, it's not a coincidence.
No, bit of this is intentional.
And we've continued to look the other way because he's Miles and he's a special player. And let it be known, I love Miles the player. But the BS that comes with him gets just nauseating. And this has been an entire offseason of it. If Miles really wants to be a leader, he'd be there. You know how I know? Because Joe Flacco, it's voluntary. Joe Flacco was there today. Kenny Pickett, who has no business being anybody's leader, Kenny Pickett was there today. There were other veterans that were there today. DeJuan Jones, going on 3 years. DeJuan's coming off a knee injury, right? A svelte-looking DeJuan Jones was at practice today. So I understand that Miles has earned a moment where he doesn't have to participate in practice. So to me, it's about him showing up and being there for his teammate. I don't need him to practice, but I do need him to be there for his teammates. And I felt as soon as the Browns started talking about, well, we just need Miles to be a little bit more of a leader. I said, we're going to know from the jump. You're going to know somewhere early in this whole thing whether Miles has got the message or not. And the reality is I don't give a rip that they're voluntary. The Browns challenged Miles, and then Miles, on the second day of OTAs, made sure to let everybody know he wasn't here. So cool. You made something that wasn't about you. Here's your attention. Thank you for failing the very basics of Leadership 101. Be there with your team because you're the $40 million man. Joe Flacco isn't. Look out at anybody. There's not another $40 million man on this damn roster, and Myles Garrett couldn't be here today.
Okay.
So thank you, Myles.
Well, so I do wonder if this is almost his retaliation in many ways, like the continued retaliation.
For getting paid $40
million? I knew you were going to phrase it that way. Listen, yes, he got money. He would have got money from the team that he was traded to as well. Like, he wanted to be traded. He wanted out. He realized that he didn't have the say that he could in order to get out of this situation, and so he did what he had to do. This is why he was given a no trade clause moving forward after signing this. Like, there's, I believe this is just a continuation of that, and this is just his way of reminding everyone that yes, he got paid, and that's fine, that's all good. But ultimately, he didn't want to be here.
I think you're right, and he got paid, and you don't tell Miles what to do. That's what this is about, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly he's not been happy with anything that the Browns have done in a very long time.
Which, again, I like, if we go back to the basis of Myles Garrett and his trade request, there were so many valid things that people in Cleveland said, you're right, dude, you deserve better than this, 100%. But then you put your name to the piece of paper. And listen, if the Browns themselves didn't come out and say, we need more from Myles, okay, this probably isn't as much. The Browns said it. The Browns said it after giving him $40 million a year. And so this right here, this is the final nail in the coffin. Miles will never be the leader that you want that's going to make this team a 500 or better team every year. Let's just set sail on it now, and let's avoid the bad feelings. Let's avoid the disappointment, because this would have been a great opportunity for Miles to come through and say, I'm at OTAs, didn't have to be here, but after everything with the contract, I wanted to show the team we were good. I want to show my teammates that I got their back. And listen, I'm working to be a better leader. Instead, the day they're meeting with the media, right? 2 months after Jimmy Haslam says the thing at the NFL owners meeting, he's in Japan. Something that he could have scheduled. You know, you could have gone to Japan last week.
You could go
2 weeks from now.
They had months. I mean, again, I think your first point is the best point out of all of this. This was very intentional by Miles. It's not even like I was just a couple hundred miles away and I could make it over there quickly if people get upset. He's in Japan. He's in Japan for a reason. So, like, I think this was very intentional in many ways. I think this does not show any bit of leadership that the Browns wanted from him. But again, this is all a continuation of Miles ultimately not getting what he wanted out of this whole ordeal.
And listen, if you don't buy into the leadership anything, then I have no problem with you excusing Miles from voluntary OTAs, right? The line, Myles Garrett's dad was in my Twitter mentions, not at me, but at somebody else, saying, you wouldn't show up to work at your day off. Which is a pretty reductive way of putting the situation, but again, that's a dude, you know, that's sticking up for his kid. I'm not trying to besmirch Lawrence, but my point is, like, okay, yeah, but that's not where we are. And for Miles, like, I do think part of the reason that I think part of the reason why the Browns are where they are, if they have too many soldiers and not enough generals. And Miles is now kind of confirmed as just a soldier. Because Miles, and by the way, he's not even really a soldier for the Browns. He's just a soldier for Miles. And that's okay. That's fine if that's what you want to do. But then I don't want to hear you again ever in December talk about you need to do what's best for the organization. Because that, on top of the leadership train setting sail today, Miles playing the hero and trying to speak on behalf of his teammates or his fans, that also will ring completely hollow from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just not really surprised, because this is just kind of what we've known from Miles for a while now. Like, he's very about Miles. That's it. It's never been anything different with him. I've said routinely, I think when things are going great, he's awesome to have around. And when things aren't going great, it just is what it is with him. And that's fine. I think the Browns know it. I think that's why the Browns were challenging him, because they wanted to see him come out and do some of these voluntary OTAs and be the, what is Tomlin's term? We don't want hostages out here. You want volunteers, not hostages. I think they wanted some of that from Miles, but it's not what you're going to get with him.
Roberto Shenanigans making a really good point as well on sending it at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, saying Miles is a captain. Okay. And again, I think to your point, I think where my frustration, because I think it's a good point of just like, this is just who Miles is. I think to my point, it's a team calling it out. And I think Miles, like, I'll be honest with you, I'm not over the nonsense. I had no problem with his trade request. I found what he said to be valid, and he folded like a cheap accordion. So it's one thing to have principles. It's another thing to act like you have principles and then fold on those things and then talk about being a leader and then showing the opposite again. Like at some point, I've got to look at you and say, okay, what are you doing to make this better? 216-474-0092. Miles Garrett in Japan. Don't believe me. Just check out his Instagram.
I think he's got a new girlfriend, too.
Oh, that's good. I was worried. I worry about him being lonely.
An Olympic snowboarder.
Okay.
That's going to be an interesting pair of kids.
Yeah.
Very athletic.
Very athletic. But is this a big deal, little deal, no deal right now? About 400 votes in. At Nick Wilson says 61% saying no deal. 20% saying little deal, and about 18% saying a big deal. We have a lot to get to on the show. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40 today. We got Zach Jackson, who was at OTAs earlier today. Brown's an NFL reporter for The Athletic. You know Zach. I don't know why I'm saying that. All that information. You know who Zach is. He'll be joining us at 4:20. We'll talk about the quarterback kerfuffle. We do have to get into that as well. We've got Darryl Ryder at 6 today, as we do every Wednesday, every hump day at 6. We got to react to Ken going in on someone letting down Jose Ramirez, the cautionary tale for Major League Baseball and for the Cleveland Guardians. But big deal, little deal, no deal. Miles Garrett in Japan as the team begins voluntary OTAs, in a different way of looking at the Miles Garrett absence. Coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Could have said, yeah, we'd love for him to be here, but we had a conversation about it.
Like, we'd love for him to be here, but we know that Miles still calls the shots and Miles still runs everything. Okay, it's just not going to be a thing.
Isn't the whole point of, hey, we want Miles to be a better leader? You're just going to say, I'd like you to be a better leader?
Hey, I wish I also had $40 million myself personally, but I can wish these things. It doesn't turn it into reality. Like, the moment they gave Miles Garrett that money, I think they thought that this would morph Miles Garrett into a big-time leader. We've known him for a decade, Nick.
Okay.
We know who Miles Garrett is.
I think that's okay. I'm not saying you're purposely doing it. It's a bit of cop-out for the Browns. Like, hey, Miles, if you could be a better leader, that'd be a big to-do for us. Like, isn't it something that has to be reinforced? Like, hey, Miles, we know they're voluntary. We'd really like you to be there next week.
It sounds like, according to Jason's reporting, they tried to do some reinforcement last year. That didn't go very well for him either.
Well, but that was before the $40 million.
Yeah, so this is going to all change something. I'm telling you, the more surprising part about all this for me is the idea that people thought Miles Garrett would be anything different this year.
No. So, I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone thought it was just going to happen overnight. But this was the easiest test to pass. Yeah. Like, this was easy thing. And by the way, he also could have just not posted that he's in Japan right now.
Again, all intentional by him.
Oh, no, agreed.
He's not happy to be here. He didn't want to be here. He wanted to get $40 million a year somewhere else and also play for a Super Bowl, not a team that Vegas thinks is going to win 5.5 games. And that's being optimistic in many ways.
But the second that you sign on the dotted line, like, in 2 years from now, if they still stink, Miles, I'll support your next trade request. 2 years from now. Not next year. 2 years from now. I'll do it. I will. So help me God. The points you'll make then will be just as good as they were the last time before you folded like a cheap accordion. But my problem is, like, okay, now you signed. Now you're complicit. The previous time, what was it, 3 years from the last contract he signed to the trade request?
The initial was a 5-year, $125 million.
All right. So 4 years, actually, think. Because didn't he sign in 2021?
I think that's right, yeah.
All right. So, all right, you got 4 years. This time, I'll half it. I'll put it for 2 years. I'll do that for you. But the least you could do is, acting like you're a hostage.
He was backed into a corner.
They don't pay hostages $40 million a year, Miles.
He gets that, but also, I think it was one of the rare times that we've seen, and because this is not the NBA, and you don't get to just force where you want to go. It's one of those times where an NFL player was like, hey, my dime, my dance for, and the NFL responded with a to hell it is. No, it isn't, Miles. You're playing our game for reasons X, Y, and Z. And so Miles did what he had to do. He signed the contract.
He didn't have to. He didn't even wait till free agency. It was the limpest fight ever. He didn't even make it to free agency, as if that offer was going to stop materializing on March 15th of this year. He didn't even make it interesting. He went guns a-blazing on Radio Row. And then 4 weeks later, was like, you know what? I really like $40 million. You guys have made a good point here. I'm going to just, I'll be a better leader. Don't you worry.
That was a long 4 weeks. If it was only 4 weeks, it felt like a lifetime to me.
I mean, it was what? Radio Row was February 3rd?
Yeah, but we started the Miles conversations in early January, though. Because we were doing, remember, the Hard Knock stuff that came out and everything. I mean, we were starting those conversations very early January.
At some point, I got to start just realizing, like, you're part... We now have to overcome whatever deficit that you have in terms of leadership. It's not just enough to, like, not be a leader while you wear a C on your chest, right? That it's not. Now, I have to wonder, like, okay, do I need stronger leaders around you because you can't even be bothered to do the basic thing?
You're going to get basically the bare minimum. That's what the... I know the expectation from them is way different than the bare minimum from a leadership standpoint, but that's what I always thought we were going to get, and this is more proof of that.
I was totally fine. By the way, totally fine with that. If Miles never presents himself as a leader, like he did at the end of the football season, then flip-flop on the Hard Knocks thing of being like, I've seen it, and it's glorious. And then a week later, there's a trade request. And then a week later is Radio Row. And then 4 weeks later, it's, hey, dinosaur cupcakes, baby, let me sign here. Like, at some point, you have to have... You need like a neck brace to keep up with Miles' personality turns here in his own...
He goes as the wind goes. But we saw that within that whole stretch of it all, too.
Well, but my point is, now you have reason to be pissed about it. Previously, it was just Miles being Miles.
Maybe just we've been around him so long. I just don't have the energy to get mad at him.
Yeah, but I think it's different now because he jerked around the organization and he jerked around the city of Cleveland.
But they knew. This is 10 years of Miles. They knew when he was signing that he was not going to do voluntary stuff and he wasn't going to go above and beyond. And I would bet months from now we get some sort of spin being like, man, Miles Garrett has unlocked Mason Graham. He's the reason why Mason Graham is so great. And I bet if we got in private, Mason Graham will be like, yeah, no, he's not really doing anything for me at all.
Well, yeah, he might say that in public because that guy has... Yeah, that dude's all about football, which is a nice way of saying he's devoid of personality.
He is devoid of personality.
We like Miles. By the way, I am the original.
That'll probably be the spin. If they start winning games, Graham-inator. And Mason Graham is great. You're the Graham cracker. If Mason Graham turns out to be great, it's going to be like, yeah, well, Miles was there teaching me the entire time. And behind closed doors, Mason Graham will be like, I kind of hate that narrative that's going around. Hasn't really done that much for me.
So you have a different way of looking at the Miles absence, yes?
Not necessarily, just more the idea that I wonder if the team was better if I would care more about this. Like, if the team was better, if we'd have a different outcome. And I do think we would. I think if the team was projected to be a 10, 11, 12 win team, then I do think Miles Garrett is there at voluntary OTAs. I think it's because you're projected to be a 5.5 win team. You don't know who your quarterback is. There's zero optimism or anything around this team. That's why I think Miles right now is in Tokyo.
Oh, see, that's the funny thing. For me, this is where you need a Miles Garrett to be a real leader the most. Like, when no one's giving you a chance, when your plan is we're going to get back to basics on offense and pray and hope
that
we can run the ball.
But his whole pitch was he doesn't want to do that. Well, he doesn't want to be part of building people up that way.
But the point is, this again, this all of this should have changed the second he put pen to paper. It doesn't matter what you want anymore. When you agreed to take the money and you folded after 4 or 5 weeks of a trade request, no. You became complicit with this. So get on board and make it count.
If he got traded to the Lions, I promise you he'd be there at the voluntary OTAs right there with Aiden Hutchinson.
I don't know. I think
he would have been right there. He'd not be in Tokyo right now.
If showing his ass in Cleveland in a big way of talking a big game and then folding like a cheap accordion, and I'm going to continue to say that, 5 weeks later.
That's like number five of the accordion reference today.
If that, I would just love the accordion.
I thought
you'd
switch it up to cheap suit at some point.
Hungarians
but we
love
gone
the accordion. That's a true thing.
Big accordion group. Yeah.
Hungarian club growing up, there was always, his name was Steve Powell. And that dude rocked that accordion.
So if I give my wife an accordion, will she just naturally know what to do?
I'm not saying no. I'll tell you that. Okay. Some of us are gifted with it. But the point is,
strange thing to be gifted with.
Like, Miles put the bullseye on his own back. He did this to himself. And so to then turn around, and again, he folded. No one made him take $40 million a year. If he was principled, as he said he was in January, or late February, or early February, let's say it was continuing to go on, I'd be like, yeah, Miles doesn't want to be here. He doesn't have a contract. He hasn't signed a contract extension. Like, Miles lost every bit of goodwill. Half of Cleveland stood up for him. I know that there are tried and true Browns fans, and I have no qualms if you just want to support Miles and that you had no that basically you looked at what Miles did initially as a betrayal and then forgave him when he signed the contract. If we've been on opposite sides of this whole thing for the whole time, I get it. This ain't about you. This is about Miles. This is about at some point you got to grow up, because to what you said, the idea of, well, this is intentional, right? It's not a coincidence he posts that he's in Japan the day of OTAs, right before everybody's about to get 100 questions about it.
We've seen him go to Japan, and it took like what, the St. Ignatius or St. Ed's baseball team to find out he was there. Like he wanted people to know he was there.
So like at some point, if Miles is at some point, dude, just pass the bare minimum. Like, just pass the basic thing. And the team needs leadership more if they're going to be a 5-win team than they do if they're going to be an 11-win team.
Miles is telling you that's not what he signed up for. They can push that. They can push that message. They can push that message. It's not what he signed up for.
Yeah, but no, when he signed up for it.
No,
you don't get to pick and choose what you do for $40 million.
Miles does. Yes, Miles does. That's what he's telling you right now. It is his. It's his ball game. He gets to decide the rules. That's the whole point. The whole point of this today is so that he gets to dictate the terms.
No.
And you see how it's working? You see how it's working? Stefanski in the clip we played in the first segment?
It's voluntary.
Cowered the way that we thought he would.
Kevin Coddler.
Because they're going to let him do this, and he knows that.
I'm going to tell you right now.
If Stefanski came out and said, I was really disappointed, we gave him $40 million, I expected more from Miles Garrett, that would be a way of sending a message that we do actually expect more. This was Stefanski saying it's voluntary. You go do you.
I'm going to tell you, because now you got me frothing here. I'm full froth. Give me my accordion so I don't get in a fight. I'm going to tell you right now, if Mike Vrabel was a head coach, this crap wouldn't pass. If Mike Tomlin was a head coach, this is my biggest problem with Kevin. Is like, you can say something in between, it's voluntary, and he doesn't have to be here. You can say something between that and hammering him. You can say, we talked with Miles, we would have loved for him to be here. He decided that this trip, you can do that. That is a way of expressing what the Browns thought. Mm-hmm. It's a way of expressing what was requested of Miles.
Right.
And by the way, Miles doesn't deserve your protection right now. All right? And I'll be honest with you. If I feel this way, I guarantee you there's not 90 dudes in that locker room that agree with everything. The NFL is so fake with this crap. I guarantee you there's dudes in that locker room that are sick of that game as well. If I'm going to call out about Jameis Winston's fake ass last year, I'm going to do the same thing with Miles. So this has repercussions. And you need everybody rowing the boat in the same direction for you to do something this year and to be more than a 3-win team. Maybe that's what pisses me off. This feels like laying down. This feels like, well, we're not going to be good anyway, so I'm just going to be in Japan. Like, if your highest paid player is thinking that way, second highest paid player is thinking that way, and your first highest paid player is incognito, what chance do you have? What chance do you really have from a leadership perspective? Let's go with Jim in Strongsville. Jim, welcome to the show, Jim.
You know what, Pot? You're black too, buddy. You're the pot in the kettle here.
Easy there, friend.
You left Cleveland. You left Cleveland. Where are your principles, Nick? Then you come back. You're like the LeBron James of Cleveland radio.
Well, yeah. So the difference is I didn't bluff. I told them I'd like a better job. They said no, and then I went to another place, and then I came back for a better job later.
I don't know what you want them to say. You keep saying, like, the Browns had expectations. Yeah, you know what the Browns' expectations were? We'll give you $40 million, which any human being is going to say, yeah, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have got that elsewhere, Jim.
That was so that he quit wanting a trade. He's never been a leader. I don't know. All of a sudden, you want this guy to be a leader.
Him to be a leader, Jim, for the love of God. Jason tweeted about it. Jimmy Haslam talked about it.
Nothing's going to change until you get your franchise quarterback. That's where your leadership's got to come from. Look,
That's such a reductive take. You can build a winning culture without Pat Mahomes.
And yet, might ebb and flow. To pair up with a superstar like Peterman, like you did. You're like the LeBron James of radio.
People have been saying
couldn't
that.
Get it done on your own, man. Couldn't get it done on your own. You got to rely on Peterlin. Well, I see how you operate now. Where's your $40 million? You should be demanding it.
Very nice thing that Jim said there.
You can't. Did he?
It was nice to me.
You know what, Jonathan? I'm not always against you. See, buddy?
Yeah. Jim, frig off. Jim in Strongsville there. I like it better when he attacks you.
I noticed. We all noticed that.
How do we start at LeBron and then all of a sudden I'm LeBron with the 2007 Cavs instead of the 2014 Cavs?
We already have a LeBron James of Sports Talk Radio.
That's true.
We already have one.
LeKen.
It's taken.
216-474-0092. So to Peterlin's point, does it matter what the projection looks like on whether? So if the Browns were projected to be a 9.5 win team, would that change how you feel about Miles' no-show at voluntary OTAs? Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Well, yeah, because he's not doing videos for
our
show.
Let's see
what
happens.
No video there.
Joey, you do the videos, yeah. And then we can start bus tossing you, okay? We just need to see
some videos first. That's true. We need to see the work first.
And Zach, we will be more than happy to bus toss you at that point.
I don't know. I don't think we're the bus tossing show unless it's Mac.
We're not the bus tossing show.
I mean, it was really only Mac. We don't bus toss Jake.
I don't know that Jake would tell anyone that we're ducking the charges on that.
Do we bus toss you?
Do you bus toss me?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Right, who do we bus toss?
Is it just Mac?
Mostly Mac.
Okay.
Mostly
that
Mac.
That feels good.
That means maybe some part-time update anchors that probably aren't too thrilled with us
on
the day-to-day
basis.
It's
like when you find out you're 2% Norwegian.
I'm 2% Italian is what I found out. And so that's, I told you that in confidence. And and mainly so I could start doing the Tommy Cutlets. Am I right?
Yeah.
Get that video.
I almost said like an Italian phrase, and the first one that came to mind was a curse word. Who else do we bus toss?
Am I up for Italian Man of the Year at 1.9%, or is that too low on the...
I think that's the right amount for me.
Geez, you can't find parking in literally once, and the whole place has me banned now.
That's true.
That's unreal. True.
You got a reputation.
I can't show my face in that place.
Let's go ahead and get to quick hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's quick hits.
Well, JP, the Knicks are down bad. You hate to see this. Another loss to the Pacers puts them in a 3-1 hole, while Boomer Esiason of the WFAN morning show, you know who he is, he made a strong case for the Knicks' home struggles and what's causing them.
I mean, they play better on the road than they do at home. I think they're just sick and tired of all the celebrities at home. They hate playing in front of these people, and they just rather get away from all of that and go play defense and figure out a way to win on the road, which is really, there's something to be said about that. When you go on the road, it's you and your teammates. That's it.
I want to tell you how Charmin soft you have to be to tout what a mecca that Madison Square Garden is for everyone all the time. And then they get down 3-1 in the playoffs, or in this case, I think this was taken from earlier, down 2-1 before yesterday's loss, to be down 2-1 and be like, it's those bleeping celebrities. Yeah, okay.
Was he serious? I thought he was kind of joking there, right?
No, but he's definitely annoyed with the celebrities, which is wild.
I mean,
that's just such a New York take.
So, like, I've started seeing people on TikTok before the games. They'll post all the different celebrities that go into Madison Square Garden. Number is getting out of hand. The amount of celebrities that go to these games.
I mean,
it doesn't matter. It shouldn't impact your play at all. But the celebrities also went to the Indiana games too. Ben Stiller was at last night's game. So was my guy Timothée Chalamet. Spike Lee was there too. Like, they had their own version of basically celebrity row there.
I just think it's like the dumbest thing to complain about. To me, like, complaining about celebrities in the audience, maybe, like, I never complained about Eddie Vedder and Bill Murray in the crowd at Cubs games where there was like 17 Cubs fans that were prolific, high profile people. I think bitching about celebrities attending the game as if it actually, he's not suggesting it actually does matter to wins and losses, but if it adds some sort of circus environment, it's the NBA playoffs. Like, that's the circus environment. You could take Ben Stiller and Shamalama Ding Dong and every other Jamoke out there. I have no respect for him.
Shalame.
Is he French? Is he American? Pick a side. All right? Thank you very much.
Born in New York.
But and then he summered in France, which makes him a hell of a lot more France than he does American. I didn't summer in France. I summered in Lodi. You're welcome, Shamalama Ding Dong. Now, the point is, it's a weak-ass take by Boomer. Love him, respect him, weak-ass take.
Summered in Lodi.
I did. 11 acres of God's earth.
Yeah.
Morgan Wallen, I'll take you to God's country. We got ticks, but I'll take you there.
Tyrese Halliburton in the game 4 win, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists, 4 steals, 0 turnovers. That's never been done before in an NBA game, regular season, or the playoffs, Nick. Last night was more about Tyrese Halliburton than it was anything.
Yeah, he was good.
He was incredible.
I think he might be good at basketball.
You think he might be better than Darius Garland at this point?
I'm willing to say that, yes.
Okay.
I'm willing to say that maybe I underrated Tyrese Halliburton, and he just happens to be really good. Now, I do think they're going to get gentlemanly swept. I don't know anyone stopping OKC at this point with how they're playing, but just to get that indie team to put the Knicks down 3-1, to do what they did to the Cavs, you have my respect, Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, I mean, last year we talked about how the Celtics basically had the easy path and the easy way in. That has not been the case here this year for Indiana.
Although, can we also say, John Halliburton acting like he's doing it, so, it still bugs me.
I like that Tyrese, though, after the game, did say it helped. We know it didn't help, but like you have to convince it's every like, Indiana
like putting
Pacer
his
fan,
arms around people like I you, sired
you, yes,
him.
You have to convince That's every me. Pacers fan that it actually does matter and it makes Halliburton the best version of Halliburton.
But they're so from that, Indiana. They can't read. What?
Okay.
I mean, you've been to Indiana. I've spent time in Indiana.
I would take more shots at like a West Virginia than I would in Indiana.
I think.
What are the states that can't read on your hierarchy of states that can't read?
This goes. I had this take once driving through West Virginia.
Okay.
And then I drove through Indiana. The only difference between the two spots is hills. That's it. Indiana is just a flat version of West Virginia. Oh, that felt good. Thank you for allowing me to call back to that take because that is one of my prouder takes.
You just pissed off Larry Bird, but you're welcome.
Man, who looks like a bird? He grew into it.
Omaha!
He grew into it.
DeAndre Hunter, Cavs forward, is hard at work this offseason.
I'm trying to think of people that look like their last name.
Well, no, he didn't look like a bird when he was younger, but as he's gotten older, the beak has become more pronounced, and the hair is like a tuft. Right, the tuft of hair.
But he looks more like Big Bird. I mean, which is a bird, but like he looks more like a cartoon bird than he does a real bird.
Yeah, I don't think he looks like a finch, but I see what you're saying. DeAndre Hunter hard at work this offseason. He looks to be getting into the food content game, is evident of this most recent IG story from his account.
What's up? We back. We got a
you heard me
French toast with lemon zest,
3 hours.
Blueberries, and some ice cream. Coconut ice cream. Mm-hmm. Take a bite for you. Phenomenal, yo.
Hey,
what was this?
So this DeAndre Hunter, and DeAndre starts Hunter. It by saying, "Okay, big backs," and then
he's hardly Emerald with the bam. But
then his paramour or whoever is taking the video is talking to somebody off camera. So it's like DeAndre actually has got a little bit of personality there. His lack of flavor is a flavor. But then we just need to clean this up. I'm in on DG, the food content creator. Come on. You make $20 million a year. We can clean up the production a little bit.
Too many people try to be rappers, all these NBA stars. Not enough food creators.
That's a good take.
The food content game. Let's start this thing up. He'll be on the Food Network in like 3 weeks.
Can we agree? He needs a fat sidekick. He's so skinny that I'm not going to believe that you eat all that food. I'm going to think it's like just a paid advertisement. You get a fat.
Bobby Flay did more than well being a relatively tiny guy, all things considered.
He
in
looks,
shape guy.
He, you know, I mean, he's food blogger in shape, but he's not in shape in shape.
Bobby Flay. What about Robert Irvine? That man was jacked. Restaurant Impossible? It was like the restaurant version of John Taffer's Bar Rescue.
Yeah.
And he was in charge of it. And he was this food guy was just jacked out of his mind. Wore glasses. No frame of reference for Robert Irvine?
No.
It was like the opposite. If you didn't watch Bar Rescue on Sundays.
Wow. You know me, I'm a Bar Rescue guy.
All throughout the daytime. You went to Restaurant Impossible instead, which was that version of that. And he was fantastic.
You know what?
Absolutely jacked.
What I say when people bring up Robert Irvine? Shut it down!
Omaha!
Mike Vrabel says the Patriots are aware of a video involving Stephon Diggs. Have you seen this video at all? Because I'm going to describe it.
Wait, which video?
So the one that went very viral yesterday.
He was hitting on other women when Cardi B was on the same boat?
So not only that, and yes, Cardi B's his girlfriend. I'm going to describe it to you the way ESPN in an article described it to me, so that I make sure that we don't mess this up, because I want you guys to hear this. A video of the wide receiver surfaced on social media in which he was on a boat and flashed an unidentified pink substance while surrounded by three women.
What could that be?
I don't know, because I'm not a drug guy. I don't know the drug game. I can't tell you what drug would be pink. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm not sure if you can help
Google?
Me out in this. Well, so that's what I did. I went to Google and I said, what drug could be pink? And they suggested it was the cocaine.
The cocaine. They color the cocaine
that
pink?
That was what Google told me. I don't know if that means other drugs could be pink.
Pink cocaine, yeah, is a powdered mixture of substances, which is dyed pink, and may have a sweet smell, and even typically produces mind-altering hallucinogenic effects. All right.
So, Stephon Diggs, welcome to Foxborough. Three-year, $70 million deal, coming off the injury. And this is the video that he has out there right now.
You know what the slang term is?
For what, pink cocaine?
Yeah.
A Barbie doll.
Pinks. Not very creative there.
Like the hot dog, huh?
Yeah.
Just also something DeAndre Hunter could review.
You got my wires crossed here a little bit.
Maybe not.
I'm caught between cocaine and food. I'm like Chris Farley. The little person pro wrestler known as Hornswoggle shared his welcome to WWE moment on his first night with the company and meeting The Rock with Cleveland's old buddy, Chris Van Vliet.
I see my buddy Dwayne come back through. Like, hey, man, thank you so much for coming back. Thanks for, what you're going to do for WrestleMania and what you're going to do for the company. And glad to have you back. Good to meet you. My name's Dylan. He extends his arm out. Goes, did you have a good time tonight, buddy? Taps me on the shoulder. Leaves. And I go, oh, no. He doesn't realize I work here. I've been on the show before that. Within 30 seconds, I had so many people message me. Rock thought you were a Make-A-Wish kid, huh? Big Show called him out the next week about this because it got to Big Show. And Rock goes, no. Yeah, I did. Like the next Kevin Hart, tiny little actor.
All right, if this happened to you, how do you handle the follow-up if you're The Rock? Just own it right away or no. do you deny and then cave?
Yeah, I mean, if you're The Rock, I think you just apologize. But you're also so big that it doesn't really even matter, does it? Like the famous standpoint, big.
No,
like
no.
This guy will be happy if
you
basically do anything.
To a little person?
Yeah, that's what I first thought. Okay. I was worried you were going to go with that side of things.
Fair.
So I would think it'd be okay. Just a simple like, hey, my bad on that.
All right.
And I don't think you did do anything more than that.
So after my grandparents got divorced when I was like 9, my grandma started going back to church, and every Sunday we would all go out to lunch together after church. And so about like 6 months in, we go to Cracker Barrel for the first time together. My grandma's first time at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah,
we ran into my grandpa and his fiance, who now happens to also be my grandma. All right, like we don't go to Cracker Barrel again for another 6 months. Then we go again 6 months. So this is the second time in a year that we've gone to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
And there's this person, and they're a smaller statured person.
Yeah.
And they've got like a pink, like cotillion hat on that women wear, like a Southern hat, and like a sundress on. And my grandma thought it was a little girl, and she goes up and she's like, "You look so pretty, little girl."
Wow.
Upon realizing this was a 50-year-old woman. And when I tell you my grandma never ate Cracker Barrel again, I'm not lying to you. She was two strikes and out with that restaurant.
That's tough because it's such a great restaurant. Have you ever gone to Little Person Wrestling at all?
I have not, but I know many people who have.
I once bought tickets, and then I ended up having this girl like slide back into my text messages, and she was like, "Well, let's see, I got this date open," and I'm like, "All right, I'll blow off Little Person Wrestling, and we can go see if this one works again." And it's a regret I have forever.
And
Nick.
Look where your life is today. Like, think where you could be if you'd just gone to Little Person Wrestling.
Do people that have gone, do they say it's great?
I don't know. I just know that they've gone, and that's as far as it. Well, they tell a lot of stories that happened there, but they don't say good or bad.
Does it still happen anymore?
Yes, it still happens.
I didn't know if we got rid of that. I didn't know 2025 if we got rid of that or not. There's a lot of wrestlers.
216-474-0092. Joe Flacco talks mentoring or not in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.